First John. The date is the 25th. What?
He says notice he doesn't say what the date is anymore.
Well, you know. That's right. Rick, slap him, please. Do somebody. All right. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I don't know what I was thinking, giving ladies permission to stand up while I'm teaching. It's hard enough to get them to sit down anytime, all right? 1 John chapter 5. Chapter 5. Now, we have folks sitting here for the first time who've not been reading this with us. So for those folks, I'm going to take just a minute to tell you why we started reading this letter, and then I'm going to let you tell me something about why you're glad we read this letter. All right? I'm going to give credit where credit is due. Ernest, sitting right about there, several months ago, said he wanted to get to know Jesus better, wanted a better relationship with Jesus, made me start thinking, I do too. And so there ought to be a letter somewhere in the Bible written for that purpose, and 1 John is that letter. You count just sometime when you have some time, start reading in John 1 and read all the way to 1 John 1, all the way to John through John 5, and just circle how many times he says no. Here's what we want to know. We want you to know. And here's what we know. And here's how you can know. And here's why you should know. I mean, there is no better letter written in the New Testament to help us get to know Jesus better. I mean, Ernest got me started thinking that way. Well, we started reading it, and here's what we learned. A man whom Jesus loved. I don't know all that's involved. I just know that Jesus loved everybody, but there was a disciple whom Jesus loved. And this fellow wrote this letter, and he said, I've seen Jesus, I've heard Jesus, I've touched Jesus. And so this fellow knows Jesus, and he knows him in that way we talk about, you know somebody. You know, I know you, but I know my dad. There's a difference in that word know. In our English word, it's just one word, but in their language, it was a knowledge of experience. He experienced Jesus. If you want to know Jesus, if you want to know Him, not just know the facts about Him, not just know where to go to church to find out about Him, but if you really want to know Jesus, if you want to experience Jesus, if you want to live life affected by Jesus, you're in the right place. Now, if you just came for supper, we're still glad you came. If you just came to hang out with some of your friends, we're still glad you came. But some of us in this room, and I'll just say, I want to know Jesus better. I want a better relationship. I want my experience with Jesus to affect the decisions I make and the choices I make, the actions I do, and the reactions I have. I want to know Jesus that way. If you want that, then here's where it starts. We can do it in this letter. And he said, I want you to have the same kind of connection with Jesus, the same kind of experience with Jesus that I did. So to make sure that we knew that it was even possible, because we feel bad about ourselves. We feel, well, let's don't talk theory. Tell me, what is it that makes us feel bad about ourselves? Tell me, let's don't pluralize it. What makes you feel bad about yourself? What makes you feel like you're not worthy? What is it that keeps you, holds you back from really completely trusting in, relying on, being confident of the love of Jesus and His grace? What is it that keeps you feeling unworthy? Anybody mess up and then dwell on it? Anybody got that dwelling problem? Yeah, yeah. I got both my hands up. What is it makes you feel unworthy? Okay.
I'm just barely learning that. So not feeling worthy of it because I didn't know that it even existed.
Yeah. What makes you feel unworthy, Darla?
You know, for like when I was real active in my addiction, I walked around like this. You know, because as long as I was looking down, you couldn't see me, is what I thought. Like hiding your head in the sand. And still, like with some of the medical things that I'm dealing with right now and not having veins, I have a constant reminder of being a junkie. I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's what it is. And so I feel the condemnation that I get, and it's and I know it's my fault. Every bit of it's on me. But it's just hard because I feel bad for the people that I'm dealing with, the medical people, because I know why they're looking at me like that. I'm making their job hard, and you know, this stupid girl did it to herself. So it's hard on that, and just, you know, because that's my mindset on a lot of stuff. I just beat myself up all the time, and we read this, and I know that Jesus got me. Well, I told you about the other day. Jesus struck my head, so we're all good. But, you know, that's what it is. I'm stopping.
I'm gonna tie the knot right here, because Darla mentioned where it comes from both ways. You mess up, and you have memories of those messes. And so those memories become shadows, become haunted houses. They become the demons, the spooks, and the spirits of our memories that constantly remind us of how wrong we are. And then, because of the consequences of that, either in a physical way or in a public knowledge social media way, everybody knows about it. So not only are you barking at yourself, other people are looking at you. They're reminding you. I don't know which one is worse for me. I don't know which one is worse for me. I can't imagine anybody out there feeling about me like I feel about me. I can't imagine any of them being more disgusted with me than I am disgusted with what I did. But the truth is, when I am reminded of it, when it comes through not just a look, when it comes through an email or it comes through a comment or it comes through some kind of discussion that involves me, I am once again hit with that reminder, look what you did and look at how people see you. So whether it's coming from inside you or whether it's coming from without you, you don't feel like you are deserving. And the truth is, we're not deserving. We don't deserve this at all. Now, that's why this letter is so important. Because to people who don't deserve it, to people who have done horrible, shameful, selfish, damaging, damning, damnable things, he says, I'll wash away all your sins. I'll purify you. You want it? You want it?
Yes.
That's up to you. I mean, you want it?
Yes.
You can have it. He says in chapter 1, just walk with me. Walk with me. Quit walking the way you were walking and walk with me now. Walk in the light with me and I'll purify you. And the way you do that, folks, he gives you a real hint, is he stop lying to yourself, stop hiding it from other people, stop justifying it, stop lying about it, stop denying it, and just be honest. I messed up, God. I messed up. So whether it's inside your heart that's condemning you or outside somebody saying it at you, you're right. You're right. Ah, you're a no good, sorry, some blanking, whatchamacallit. You got that right. I got no defense. There is no defense. But guess what? Answer it. Guess what? I am purified. I am washed clean. And I'd like for you to say it. What is it? Ernest? Are you clean? Purified? Forgiven. All unrighteousness. Clear, purified, cleansed, purified, cleansed, purified, cleansed. Yes, 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 yes. Now chapter 2. Well, he may have purified you, but he doesn't want anything to do with you. I'll let you back in the house, but you're going to have to sit out there on the porch. Now, look at 1 John chapter 2. You know what he said? He said, I don't want you to sin anymore. Now, that makes sense to me, folks, because what did sin do for me? Well, it embarrassed me. It made me feel ashamed. It made me do things that hurt other people that I didn't want to ever hurt in my life. Hurt other people. You want the list? Tell me what sin did for you. Destroyed my life. What sin do for you? Prison. What sin do for you?
It made me question God, if God can love me.
Oh, question. Yeah. It makes us question whether God can love us or not. And it's the thing that keeps pushing us away from God, because we're going, oh, he couldn't, he can't look at sin, and he can't have anything to do with sin. So if he can't have anything to do with sin, guess what? He can't have anything to do with me, right? And he says, I don't want you to sin. So it makes sense to me that we ought to say, okay, I'm going to try not to sin. But when we sin, when I sin, what does Jesus say? 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 is the Word of God, and it says it. When I sin, what does He do? He defends me. He runs, and I can prove it, He runs to my side to defend me. He hears my cry. He sees my hurt. He watches the suffering of my temptation. And He runs to my side and defends me. Does He defend what I'm doing? No, but He defends me. And so if He does that now, how much more will it be true when I stand before Almighty God and He calls my name, Rex Owen Boyles, and He gives my Social Security or wherever way He has to identify me, all right? You, short, fat kid in the back, come here. And I stand there before God, and He wants to tell me. He has the right to read to me every, Bible says, to hold me accountable for everything I've ever said or done. And guess what? He says, well done. Brother, you did good. And my old heart's going to be screaming, I did not. And anybody else standing there who knows me is going to say, man, he missed it on that one. And where's Jesus going to be? Standing right beside me, defending me. So He purifies me. He defends me. And I got to love chapter 3. You got to love chapter 3. Do you remember what He does? What does He do? Tell me. 19 and 20, what does He do? He reassures you, man. While He's standing there next to you defending you, He's patting you on the shoulder. He's wiping away any tears. He's stroking your hair. I got a text yesterday from Darla about, and she just said it. She said, man, I've heard this about from the Lord, and I just felt like Jesus was stroking my hair. And I love the thought. That's Jesus. You okay, Rex? You all right? You okay? And He is, when my heart is condemning me, God is greater than my heart. He knows all things. He knows that my sins have been washed away. He knows that I am acknowledging that I'm worthless and no good, but He purifies me anyway. He knows that Jesus is standing by my side. So when my heart is condemning me, when my heart is screaming at me, when my heart is accusing me, what's Jesus doing? Shh. It's okay. Rest. Rest. Set your heart at rest. It's not going to be okay. It is okay. Why would he do that? Chapter 4 says why he'd do that. Because he loves you. He loves you. Simple enough, right? That's not complicated to understand, but sometimes it's hard to accept, isn't it? He loves you. How much does he love you? To death. He loves you to death. Yep, and beyond. In fact, it says in Ephesians that you can't even know the love of God. It's so much. It's so broad and so high and so wide and so deep, you can't comprehend the love of God. So what do? You grasp it. You accept it. You hang on to it. Somebody offers you a free gift, what do?
Take it.
You bet. When somebody offers you a free gift of life, you accept it and hold on to it. Well, I don't know why he'd give me that money. Don't have to know why, do you? I don't know why he'd give me that love. Do you have to know? And guess what? When you take a free gift, what do you not do? You never give it back. That's right. You may pass it on to somebody else, but Jesus doesn't want his free gift back, does he?
No. You can't re-gift.
Not to him. Now, you can pass it on to somebody else. There you go. He loves you to death. And he wants you to have everything, everything he wants for you. Now, chapter 5. And this is it. We're tying up the knot on this study. But I want you to look at verse 13 so I can show you why he wrote this letter. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I want everybody to find it. If you hadn't already found it, we're going to give you time to find it. If you're looking at red letters, you're in the wrong book called John. You'll look at the next one. Keep going. Go to the back of your Bible and back up. Has everybody got 1 John chapter 5, verse 13? All right, here we go. I want you to read. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to leave part of it out, and I want you to answer. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, hang on a second. Anybody in this room believe in the name of the Son of God? I'm not looking to see if you held up your hand. I'm just giving you a chance to say it. I believe in the name of the Son of God. I do. Now, you don't have to. You're still welcome here if you don't. You still get to eat supper if you don't. You still get to come and sit in these good chairs if you don't. You're still welcome here if you don't. But I'm telling you, I believe in the name of the Son of God. And these things were written to me. These things were written to you if you believe that in the name of Jesus as the Son of God, so that you may. Now quit reading so far. I just want one word. So that you may know. So that you may know. So that you may know. Rick was running past us. He's ready to get to that next part. I'm glad he's excited about it. But I want you, he wrote these things so we would know. That K-N-O-W know there is what kind of know? What does it mean? It means letting. It's the knowledge of experience. I know Mike. I know him. I know that Mike. I know that Mike. Oh, man, we're getting overrun by the mics. I know those mics. But I know my dad. What's the difference? Experience. What do you think my trust level is? What do you think my confidence level is? What do you think my love level is? There's a big difference between Mike. I love him. I know him. I like him. Yes, I do. That's a truth. But it's not anything like what I have for my dad, right? Jesus writes in this letter, I wrote these things to those of you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you could know it, experience by experience, that trust, that level of love and experience, so that you may know that you, one, just one word, Rick, just one word, so that you may, that you know that you have, no! I love Rick. Oh, Rick's ready to get, the end of this. We're going to take it slow and easy. So that you may know that you have. Have is not one day, someday, hope to get. It is have. I have it. It is mine. It is yours if you believe in the name of the Son of God, if you walk in the light, if Jesus purifies your sins, if Jesus defends you in spite of your sin, if He reassures your hearts even when you condemn yourself because of sin, if He loves you to death, then you have in your hand right now, not one of these days when heaven comes, you have right now eternal life. I beat you to it. Sorry, son. I had to get it out of Rick, because it's going to run over him. That you may know that you have eternal life. You got it right now, y'all. It doesn't mean that there won't be consequences for decisions you make, right, Catherine? Right, Darla? Right, Rex? Right, Aaron? Right, Warren? Right, Rick? Yes. There are going to be consequences, right? Mm-hmm. But guess what I have right now? Say it.
Eternal life.
I have eternal life. What do you have right now?
Eternal life.
What do you have right now? What do you have right now? What do you have right now? Ooh, you got to say it. Say it one more time. There you go. What do you have right now? You got eternal life right now. Krista, what do you got?
I want to say it.
What do you got, Winter? Yeah. What do you got, Anna? Eternal life. Richard, what do you got? What do you got, Richard? Everybody else named Richard. Everybody, Mike. Name Mike. What do you got? Yeah. Everybody named John, what have you got?
Eternal life.
Yeah, we got it in stereo. Now I'm just going to let you sit a second. Just let that sit a minute, y'all. You got it. You have it. Now, do you have it because you've done everything right?
No.
It's not because of what you've done. It's because of what He's done and is still doing. It's not because of who you are, it's because of who He is and who He will always be, right? Is that not good stuff, y'all? You want some of that? You got it. But I got to be honest with you, you are not going to get it from some fella. And you're not going to get it from some woman. And you're not going to get it from some substance. And you're not going to get it from some drink. And you're not going to get it even from a good job. You're not going to get it from a nice fat bank account. You're not going to get it even from, if you got huge credit, which means you don't have a fat bank account. I mean, you know where you get it?
God.
You get it from the Son of God.
Yep.
That's right. You get it from Jesus. No wonder, no wonder this man wrote this letter. He lived with Jesus and he had this with him. And he wanted to share it with us. No wonder Ernest wants this. I want it too, don't you? All right, so here's what we do. And this is how we'll finish. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. It said confidence, okay? Now, I try not to do too much of this, but every once in a while, there's something, an illustration from my background pops up. And just in case there's anybody that's ever sat in church like I used to sit in church and hear these things and let them affect the way I thought, I want to, let's clear up something for a second. I remember hearing it prayed over and over again. Lord, we come before your presence with fear and trembling. I believe we ought to respect God. I think we ought to fear the Lord. That is the beginning of wisdom. There's lots of truth there. But when we approach the Lord, we are told, Hebrews 4, now 1 John 5, we approach God with confidence, with boldness. It is the confidence of a child running to his father to jump in that child, that father's lap without asking permission, without clearing the way, without providing any landing instructions. Here I come, ready or not. And we approach God with confidence. And there it is. That if we ask anything according to His will. Now, first of all, let's deal with words. If we ask what? Anything. I want you to get ready. If we ask anything. Now, it's in accordance to His will. Now, there are some times I can know what is in accordance with His will. Because I've got His black and white written down Word of God will in front of me, right? So it seems foolish to me to pray for something that I know is against the will of God. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord, let this happen. Well, that's against God's will. So you don't pray for that kind of stuff until you're not praying for things in accordance with His will. But now there are some things that God has in mind for me that has not been written down in black and white. So when I pray for something and I understand it to be in accordance with the will of God, how do I approach God with it? With confidence. So I can ask Him anything in according to His will. He hears us. Underline it. Circle it. That's right. Memorize it. Rick's ahead of me again. If you need to, tattoo it to your forehead backwards so when you look in the mirror you can read it. What does He do? He hears us. Folks, I have felt this way. You felt this way because you've been honest enough to say it to me and share it with me. There's just sometimes I just feel like God's not listening to me. I feel like God can't hear me. Nope. That feeling is not your faith. That feeling is not fact, because the fact is, and hopefully your faith will match the fact, is when we approach Him asking anything according to His will, say it again. One more time, Rick. He hears us. Underline it. Circle it. Make sure we remember it. He hears us. And keep reading. And if we know that He hears us, do we know He hears us? Whatever we ask, what does that sound like? Whatever we ask, what does that sound like?
Anything.
Anything, that's right. Whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him. What did He just tell me? If I ask Him anything, whatever I ask, in accordance to His will, I have, what does have mean? I've got it. It's mine. We don't believe that. We just read it, and we all said, oh, yes, yes, amen. Good sermon, yes. We don't believe it because we don't ask.
And that's all you have to do is ask.
There's a verse. We'll study it. Coming pretty soon, Lord willing, if we have some more Wednesday nights, where He just says, you have not because you ask not. This is not about proving the point, because the point has been proved, the fact that's in the Word of God, settled. It's truth. God wouldn't say it if He didn't mean it. If God says it, that settles it, right? But I'd love to talk about some proof. I love to give some stories. Can't give many because I want us to have time to pray. But here's what we're going to do. I've got to tell you a story. A couple of Sundays ago, we were talking out of Ephesians 3:20, this same thing, that He is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Right? I was asking, what do you ask for? What do you imagine? And I want, go beyond. Go beyond. Little girl sitting right over there said, I want to be adopted. You remember what Teresa told us last week?
She got adopted.
Uh-huh. Heard a story just a minute ago where a lady filed for disability because of past injuries, was rejected. Got a call from Social Security, answered some questions. Week later, gets a letter, accepted. And interesting enough, she was accepted on the day, laying in her bed, she cried, God, what am I going to do? What can you do to help? Wonder what God can do to help. So let's do this. Let's just ask. Let's ask. Now, we don't have time, won't take the time to do many, but let's start. And let's ask anything. Let's ask whatever. Let's ask anything. Let's ask whatever. What would it be? What are we going to ask?
I want to be able to deal with my work situation more. There's a lot of negative people and a lot of party people there, you know. And I don't want to be tempted in the wrong way. I want to be able to keep my faith.
Different job?
I want a different
better job?
I want something that's going to influence me better. I actually kind of want more dough.
What do you want to ask? Ernest?
Yeah, all my stuff.
Let me hear the names.
It's Elias, Noah. Well, Noah's already here, so Elijah. And then I got Josiah. And I want them to come home.
Want those sons home.
Yeah.
What do you want to ask?
There's two things. With Sam and Josh, I would like them both working at a home. They seem to be doing pretty good right now, and I just hope that they can move out as soon as possible.
Okay. This is the only time I'm going to do this, but I got to do this. You willing to do that in accordance with His will?
Yes.
You willing to pray that in accordance with His will? So if that means that Mama's got to do something, okay. Johnny Ray to come home. Me too. Me too. What do you want to ask? What do you want? Anything.
I want my aunt Anita to be healed and walk again.
What do you want? Whatever.
I want my brother Reuben and Michael to just find God or forgive God finally.
What do you want? Whatever. What do you want? What do you want?
I want my daughter and my three grandsons to be safe.
What do you want? Whatever.
I'd like for my Social Security, my disability to go through, or to help with whatever it is. The waiting, nothing.
What do you want? Whatever. What do you want? Whatever.
I've got to take care of my legal issue.
What do you want? Whatever.
I would like my father and my daughter's relationship to heal.
What do you want? whatever. What do you want? Whatever. What do you want? Whatever.
My health issues.
What do you want? Whatever. Anything. Chris.
I want more patience and all my family and stronger.
Yeah. What do you want? Whatever. Anything.
I have two more daughters that right now are not walking with the Lord, so I want them to know Him the way I know Him.
The list of things that I would list would take up the whole time. Mm-hmm. But here's what I want, the one I'm going to tell you about. It's a unique time of the year. There are going to be people thinking about Jesus over the next week or so like they never think about Jesus, right?
Right.
I mean, serious. There's family members you have, friends that you work with, neighbors that you live next to that will be thinking about Jesus because of Easter. Next Wednesday, the religious world recognizes as Ash Wednesday. It's a tradition only thing. Is not rooted in Scripture. But there is a truth in that tradition about genuine turn your heart to God, change your life kind of thing. I want us to have standing room only, where we're sitting up on the counter, we got folks on the floor. I want us to ask, beg, borrow people so that they can come, because what we're going to talk about is genuine heart repentance. Turning your life over to God and then letting Him give you His life. So we're going to do next Wednesday. You want to be praying about it? Start praying Romans. Just Romans. Just pray that the power of the gospel that's in Romans is revealed next Wednesday. If God gives us next Wednesday, it'll be revealed in here. What are we having for supper next Wednesday? Pizza. I believe. Do you believe? We add at least 50% to our pizza order. All right? And Mike just said he wants to help with pay for the extra pizza. You want to do that? Bring it to me and I'll hang on to it. I got one lonesome old dollar in my pocket. This will be right-hand money. You want to help with the pizza? I'll put it in my right-hand pocket. All right? Now, since I'm the teacher, I get to add too. Easter Sunday, 10 days, is that right? 10 days from today? Right at it? Easter Sunday, we'll have two meetings. We always do. We'll have one at 9. We'll have one at 10:30. If you've got friends that'll come with you, bring them. If they would come to a sunrise meeting, I'll be here. Donuts will be here. Coffee will be here. We'll be ready. We can make more coffee. Be praying about it. Somebody in your family. Somebody you work with. Somebody you live next to. Who can I introduce to Jesus on the first day? On the first day. of the rest of our lives on the first day that Jesus came back to life, on the first day of not just the week, but of life. That's what I want. Father, you've heard. We don't doubt it. We believe it. You heard. We ask now that we're to receive. We don't deserve it. We confess, God, we don't deserve it. But we want it. We desperately want it. Some of us want it for our health's sake. Some of us want it for our heart's sake. Some of us want it for the kingdom's sake. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus, amen. Thanks, folks.